You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock live this afternoon from one of our favorite places. It's Smoky Stadium in Sevierville. It is a beautiful day. And Tucker, I don't know about you, but look, I'm excited to do the show. We got some good guests set to join. We got a lot of topics to discuss here this afternoon. But that being said, when we were out on the concourse 10 minutes ago, taking in the sights, the sounds, the smells of the great American pastime, the Smokies and whoever the opponent, looked like the Brewers, a Brewers affiliate,
yes,
is here. There is a part of me that is not a small part either. It's a big part that would rather just grab a cold beverage, go sit in the sunshine, and watch, not even baseball, just batting practice.
Oh, I know. It's a tremendous day outside, not too hot. You know, we're going to come up on that part of the year here pretty quickly as it's the first show of May that we're in now. Hard to believe that we're saying that, but it is a tremendous day out there, and I don't blame you at all for wanting to do that.
Oh, man, it's wonderful. Bear, good afternoon. Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Had an outstanding lunch today. It's really put my afternoon off to a fantastic start.
Good, good. I'm glad you're in a good mood as well. Tucker, I drug him to Bucky's earlier today. So I had a pulled pork sandwich. He went with the brisket. We're well fed here. We're actually set up in the Smokies restaurant, the Batter's Box restaurant. If you want to come out and see us today at Smokies Park, you're welcome to just tell them you know me. They'll let you right in and you can hang out with us. And special treat today, Bear, we have a special on-site guest with us here today, joining us live on location courtesy of the morning show here on Fan Run Radio, the Hound of Baskerville, Bob Baskerville, live with us at the Batter's Box in Smokies Park here this afternoon. Bob, good afternoon. Good to see you, my friend.
Hello, boys. It's good to be here. I was just hanging around an empty stadium. That's what I usually do on my afternoon. So this was good. I agree, though. It's a nice day to be out here. Just a little bit of trivia. The Biloxi Shuckers.
Oh, okay.
Is who
okay.
You'll be taking on.
The who Shuckers?
Yeah, what was that, Bobby?
Biloxi?
I think it's Biloxi, Bob.
I don't think that's how they say it down there.
Biloxi.
Or Biloxi, I don't know.
Don't you remember that? Was it the Biloxi Blues with Matthew Broderick?
Right, you're right.
Back in the day?
You're absolutely right.
Hey, Russ,
right,
now that we've got Bob in here with us, what was it yesterday that came up about Bob on the show?
Oh, the fact that he is a sneaky contender for the Crest Cup.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
How so? What's that mean? Taking time off?
Take a little time off. We've noticed. It has been Derek Dooley noted through the stadium.
It was just 1 week.
Through the station. I'm sorry. The stadium, maybe two.
Yeah. Yeah.
1 week so far. It's early.
Oh, no. Summer's coming. Yeah. That's, yeah. Reed and I have to have a little talk about that.
Yeah. Let him know his co-host is going to not be around occasionally.
Yeah, those resort cocktails aren't going to drink themselves. So I've
very good.
Have a little of that. But, no, it's good to be here. It's good to see you guys. I listen to The Drive a fair amount, as probably noted by Bear and Russ. I text them occasionally with stuff, and a lot of times they don't respond, which is code for leave us alone. But
I was thinking about show. I was looking at that because there's a text thread of you, me, and Bear, and you're always texting us during the show, which I appreciate, but I just don't respond generally unless it's something that's either really quick and immediate or it's like an emergency, like honey, one of the kids has fallen off the roof. I'm generally not going to respond between 3 and 6, but I'll spend some time after the show.
Yeah, and to be clear, when I for the listeners, we it's all business. When I text, it's not like, hey, what are you guys up to? It's more like I hear, you know, there's something I may know, but you guys are looking for.
It's a response to the show, and I'm trying to remember what it was yesterday. Oh, it was, what am I listening to, NPR?
Oh, well, yeah, you guys were talking about, you know,
constructive criticism.
And, yeah, there was, I forget,
a Chicago 7 reference,
yeah,
I believe.
Chicago ethnic cleansing. I mean, there was, I was like, my gosh, man, I did. It felt a little, got a little NPR feel to it.
Well,
we have to update you on the rival monkey gangs of Lotbury every now and again.
We're following the story closely on the drive. Following a lot of stories closely, we're going to get into some football talk. I know Bob wants to talk about James Pierce perhaps being a number one overall pick in the draft next year, which is something that that's out there that we have not discussed in detail. So we could talk to him about that. A lot of baseball, obviously, being out here at Smoky Stadium. And at some point, I want Bob to explain to me, like I'm five, why I, a Comcast subscriber, can no longer watch the Braves. Thank God we can listen to the Braves right here on Fan Run Radio. But for you, those of you who are on Comcast, as of today, you can no longer watch the Braves. I know, I know. You're thinking, Russell, I pay my $250 a month to Comcast. I've got Bally's. I'm fine. No, you're not. You might have been fine last night. You're no longer fine. Trust me. I checked. You don't watch the Braves anymore. So we're going to talk about that. I wanted to start with something about Smoky Stadium up here. And the Shuckers are in town. Home set, 7 p.m. first pitch. Tonight, tomorrow, I think, for the rest of the weekend. So you can come out here and take a nine-inning vacation at Smoky Stadium. We encourage you to do so. I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago when I came up here to meet with the folks here at the Smokies. And this is the last year in the stadium. And there's a buzz around it. Tucker and I were talking to one of the folks in the retail shop here about it, and he's making the switch with them and all that goes into that and everything. But and Bob, you'd be a great person to talk to about this because you're from here in East Tennessee. I grew up going to Bill Meyer Stadium. They got the mural here on the background. And it was such a big story when the Smokies left 20-plus years ago. Mm-hmm. And we won't get into the whole Victor Ash and the convention center and the choice that was made or whatever. But, you know, we spent so much time lamenting the loss of minor league baseball in Knoxville, and it's come out here. And you know, I find myself thinking about those conversations that we had about Bill Meyer Stadium and will we ever build another downtown ballpark, this, that, and the other. And then I think about it like this. I've been coming to games here since this ballpark opened 20 years ago. I've been coming to games here longer than I did Bill Meyer Stadium. My family moved here in 1985. They shut up shop in the late 90s, whenever it was. So I think that we need to make it a point this season, us as Fan Run Radio, as Tennessee fans, as baseball people in East Tennessee, to celebrate this ballpark. Because this is, first of all, it's an excellent facility. It's a much nicer ballpark than Bill Meyer Stadium was.
Yeah.
It's a great location. Yeah, it's a little bit of a drive, but it's once you get out here, you're in the mountains, the fresh air and everything, and a lot of great memories by families, by friends, have been made right here at Smoky Stadium. And there's a big part of me that'll be sad to see that go.
Yeah.
This is the last opportunity we have to come up here and watch games this summer.
That's really a great way to frame it, Russ. I think that because I came here, you know, I've been in Knoxville. For many that know me, I'm from the Midwest originally, from Indianapolis. But Knoxville, I've lived here longer than anywhere in my lifetime. So this is home for me. And I do remember Bill Meyer Stadium, saw a couple games there. And was ecstatic when I heard that they were, you know, moving out to Sevierville and Smoky Stadium. Like you said, the drive's a little bit of a thing, but honestly, you know, I was thinking about that today when I drove out here. I got here from my house in 25 minutes, which honestly, you know, I lived in bigger cities where that's like just a run to the grocery store, you know? I mean, it's not that big of a deal. And this is a great place, and I do have a lot of memories, particularly from when my oldest was, you know, younger and played Little League baseball, and we'd have, you know, little team events here, and it's nothing but good memories. And what I am really struck by with the Smokies is how they do such a wonderful job, and I think it's really it typifies what's going on with minor league baseball. They understand that you've got to have more entertainment than just the players out here, because the players can be so transient. They can be moving on to AAA, or to, sometimes they jump from AA to the bigs without spending time in AAA. So you don't necessarily always build those relationships with the players. You got to build a relationship with the team as a whole and the entity. And they do such a wonderful job here with their theme nights and everything else. And, you know, we talked yesterday on the morning show with some of the folks here from Smokies, Boyd Sports, easy for me to say, and talked to them about, you know, all the things that they have on tap for this summer, including Fan Run Night. And it's a great place. I'll be interested to see what happens with it when they move on, you know, and they move back to Knoxville. I mean, it's kind of bittersweet, really. It's you know, it's a great situation, but this is hardly like they're running from something. This is a wonderful facility and a really picturesque setting.
Bob Baskerville from the Fan Run Morning Show joining us here this afternoon. We're at Smoky Stadium alongside Tucker Harlan. Bear is back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. He'll take your phone calls this afternoon at 865-288-3131. And it is a terrific place. And if you haven't been out here yet this summer, it's still early in the season, but we're going to have plenty of chances to give away tickets. We're going to have a lot of tickets to give away to Fan Run Night. We would appreciate our listeners. I believe that is that 4 weeks from tomorrow night that we're doing that.
That is correct. You're absolutely right.
So
4 weeks. The countdown is on.
All right, man. That's going to be a good time, and that would be a perfect time for a lot of our listeners who maybe only come up for a game or two a season. Like, let's go ahead and circle our calendars. We'll let you know where you can come out and get the free ticket for that to come out. We're going to have some great Fan Run swag to give away at that event, and it's going to be fun, because I think we're going to have some of the guys out there running the bases. I've been told no singing the anthem. That's off the table, much to my protest.
But thank God.
Maybe take me out to the ball game, the first pitch, things like that. We're going to do.
Yeah, and I think that you know, that's the other thing. We planned this strategically. You know, it's going to be on the 30th of May. If all things hit right, and it appears like they will, last night's results notwithstanding, the Vol baseball team will probably be hosting a regional starting that Friday on the 31st. So, So
what a week that's going to be.
Yeah, big week, big weekend, and this place, Smoky Stadium, will be a part of it.
Yeah, man, looking forward to it. All right, so we got a lot to get to here this afternoon on the program. We're talking a lot of baseball. Speaking of the baseballs, yikes.
Woo.
Wasn't expecting to.
No.
We've had one of these every year, though, guys, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's happened before. We don't want to make too big a deal out of losing a midweek game, and you generally don't go through these things unscathed. You stub your toe once a year. Let's just try and keep it to once a year. So we're not pressing the panic button, but, you know, three games in a row now where the offense hasn't been there. You score three runs in games two and three against Missouri over the weekend, and then you're thinking, okay, well, no, here comes poor Lipscomb. We're surely going to light them up. Not, you know, we're resting a couple of guys, not our best batting order out there, certainly not our best pitching rotation, although I did see Snead out there for a good chunk as Tony was fighting. You could tell he wanted to salvage it and get that W, but they can't get it done. Lipscomb comes in here and gets the win. So we will discuss that. Plus, big story going around the interwebs for college baseball junkies, Texas A&M's coach Jim Schlossnagel. Have you seen this, what he's been saying?
No, fill me in.
He's doing an interview with Texags down there, and he just casually lets it slip that a league opponent, so a SEC baseball team, was caught this year with a camera feed into the dugout of the opposing team's catchers. I mean, full Astros stuff here. And he said this team was hitting 305 at home and 205 on the road. Raised a couple of red flags. They got caught. It's not Tennessee. The internet sleuths are on it. And the the alleged culprit might shock and surprise you. So stay tuned for that. We're going to take a quick timeout right here. When we continue, we're going to be joined by Zach, the clubhouse attendant up here at Smokies Park, and give us a little bit of an inside look at how they do things here at Smokies Stadium. I want to keep saying Smokies Park. Smokies Stadium is the technical name up here. So we'll get to the 411 on that from Zach when we continue next right here on The Drive, live from Smokies Stadium, the Batter's Box Restaurant. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Drive to Tidus, Fan Run Radio, coming to you live this afternoon from Smokies Stadium in Sevierville. Russell Smith, Bob Baskerville, pleased to be joined by Zach Schnickel, the clubhouse attendant. I probably butchered that, didn't
I? It's all good. It's all good. Zach Schickel, but yes, sir.
Schickel. There's yes, no sir. N there. See, I just add letters, too. I mean, it's you never know. Zach, great to see you, man. You're the clubhouse attendant here at Smokies Stadium, and you were telling me before we came on here, you actually were the clubhouse attendant in Biloxi for the road team last year, Biloxi in town. So some familiar faces on the other side of the
field
this week.
Yeah, ironic you say that. Exactly. That's, you know, they come here once a year, so it's kind of cool to see some familiar faces.
Now, you have a pretty cool gig, man.
I do.
You get to work at the ballpark. You're around baseball. You're outside in the sun. Tell us a little bit about what the clubhouse attendant does here at Smokies Stadium.
So we do a lot, man. We basically take everything off the players' hands. So, basically their job is just to focus on what's going on the field. I do everything from cleat cleaning to laundry to personal laundry, BP laundry, bench and bullpen setup and takedown. Mm-hmm. I coordinate with the food, getting the food set up. Right before I came over here, actually, I was getting the food, prep for pregame.
Okay.
Have those all, on the sternos, ready to go, real presentable. Just basically any needs possible. Every once in a while you'll run an errand for a player. The biggest thing is being present. Being available for the guys. I'm by myself at the AA level, so a lot of times teams will have an assistant and whatnot. I myself am by myself, so it's a lot. Don't get me wrong, I love it. A lot of my nights are crashing here at the ballpark because I don't get done till 3-4 a.m.
Wow.
But it's just one of those things that it fuels me, man. I love it. I've been doing it for many years, and to be at the AA level, I'm really thankful and thankful the Cubs gave me this opportunity.
The important question, what about the bubble gum, the sunflower seeds, and dugout, all that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
That's all you?
Oh, that's all me, man. So we go through a decent bit of gum. We go through a great amount of seeds. I provide Chinook cedary seeds for the guys, so we have a variety. But, yeah, that's all on me as well, the Gatorade, the water, the whole nine yards, man.
That's great.
Making sure the on-deck bag's out there, throwing ball bag, bullpen bag, everything. It all goes through me.
What's more popular, the gum or the seeds right
Ooh.
Now?
Honestly,
do guys do both? I mean, not at the same time.
No.
That'd be weird.
That would be weird. No. I'd say we go through both, but I think the seeds have the upper hand a little bit. We're going through more seeds because they're individually packaged. So a lot of guys will grab a pack, put it in their back pocket.
Yeah.
Some guys will take it down to the bullpen and whatnot. But I'd say we go through seeds more. We go through a fair share of both, though.
Do you ever have to get on a guy and it's like, dude, that's your third bag of seeds today, man?
No,
come on.
No,
You're killing me here.
No, they. No, it's never like that, man. They pretty much get what they want and what they need. I don't hold back. I'm here for the guys, so I try to give them as much as I can within reason, within what I can do.
Sure. You said right before you came up here to talk to us, you were getting the meal, pregame meal. What are we feeding these guys? How are they eating in AA ball?
They're eating pretty good, man. We do a lot. It's the variation, so it goes to the nutritionist with the Cubs, and they're high on nutrition, so we do a lot of chicken, pork, flank steaks. A good variety of protein. There's always a good carbohydrate, like a rice and, some vegetables. There's always a vegetable. And then also I provide – that's another thing I do. I do the shopping, outside of the spread. So, I provide a selection of assortment from smoothies to bagels, sandwich meat.
Wow.
Snacks out, the whole nine yards. So it's not the big leagues by any means, but I'm trying to create a big league environment for guys who are on their way to the big leagues.
Well, I mean, that sounds better than you used to hear horror stories of guys in the big league. When I was growing up, they'd be like, oh yeah, man. I remember in A-ball, we're riding the rickety bus and they give us a cheese sandwich with no cheese before the game.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Or just a loaf, throw a loaf, the old, back in the day, it used to be where you just throw a loaf of bread out there and you call it a day with PB&J. So same thing. You hear the same horror stories. The game has definitely evolved as nutrition has become more and more prevalent. You'll see that just pretty much every team is is very well fed.
What about when – so when – do you travel with the team when they're on the road?
I do not. So I'll get them on the road Tuesday morning generally when we leave for a series, unless we're going to the South Division like Biloxi or a team like Pensacola will leave on a Monday to get for travel's sake. But I get them on the road. I do some deep cleaning of the clubhouse, so I don't travel. I get a lot of my rest. I run on low sleep. So
there must be a part of you that when they pull out in that bus, you're like,
there's a little sigh of relief for sure, man. Because I'm going balls to the walls for the 8 days leading up to that. By the time they get off the bus from the last home stay to the off day, through the series, the next off day, and then finally get them on the road. But I'll do a deep cleaning, things of that nature, and I do my shopping. So shopping is 2-3 trips because I only have, a smaller car. So I go to Sam's. I was in the Sam's in Knoxville Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, picking up 3 different pickups just to make sure everything's ready to go for the series. So there's a lot of behind-the-scenes prep that goes into it. A lot of players will ask me, too. They're like, oh, you just hang out all? I'm like, yeah, I do a lot of hanging out when y'all are gone, but there's a lot of logistics stuff that's going on for next series and making sure that this place is ready to rock.
Yeah, it sounds like you've earned some hangout time.
No, for sure. I do. I have to tell myself, hey, take a day.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of fascinated by this. So when the players go on the road, because I get the concept with what you're talking about with the nutritionists and everything else, but when they go on the road, do they operate like on a per diem? Do they get money or do
you? On the road, I think I'm not quite sure how it works. I think they get per diem, but they also get two meals everywhere. So they'll have food catered in from wherever road city they're in.
Okay.
So everywhere you're going to go, you're going to have a pregame, postgame. And then for day games, the pregame is usually a breakfast because it's a morning day. So they're always provided for, and then the visiting clubhouse guy, wherever they're at, will also have his supplemental snacks and whatever he provides. That varies from each club, depending on how passionate they are, but I try to give a wide variety so where one, it helps with your tips, it helps with guys showing that you care about it, and it's what it should be. It's pro ball, it's good. I think these guys have it pretty well.
Zach Schickel is the clubhouse attendant here at Smoky Stadium, taking a few with us here this afternoon. Now, let's get to the more immediate topic. Have you guys been out there checking for bees yet today?
I saw that. Was that Arizona last night? Holy cow.
People don't know what we're talking about. It was a little bit later, but the Arizona Diamondbacks home game against the Dodgers was delayed a good hour or so, 2 hours, according to Bob. They had a swarm of bees. There's a video of this. It was on the foul pole, the net, out there, and I mean, it was hundreds, thousands. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw they had
a lot of bees.
They had the beekeeper up there. Yeah. I saw the fans are chanting MVP, man. Get that game in.
I grew up a Dodgers fan, and so last night I was actually, it was a late game, but I was going to try to watch a little of it and kept seeing it was delayed. And I was like, they're in Arizona. How's it delayed? And then I finally found out.
Right. Oh, that's a peculiar delay. You never know what you're going to see, man. That's definitely interesting.
You were telling us about you've seen some interesting things here lately. What is the wildest thing you've ever seen in your time here at Smoky Stadium or in your baseball career?
So nothing really crazy here because I've only been here for a month. Mm-hmm. But I've had lightning delays, rain delays. I've had when I was in Dayton, I used to be the clubhouse guy in Dayton with the Dayton Dragons. Our first game was snowed out. Like, that's probably the craziest one because I'm from New Orleans. So, like, to have a snow out on opening day is crazy,
Yeah.
Icy field conditions, So it's especially, it's interesting to see because when you have weather-related things like that, it's cool to see how the guys, how they react to it. And most of these guys are so pro about it. They go about their business regardless whether we're playing or not because they don't know ultimately, We might every game we're trying to get in. So that's probably the coolest thing. I'd probably say a snow out. Very interesting.
All these guys are on a mission. We're Castro's jersey over there. Matt Bryant's jersey is over here. So many guys have come through here to make the big leagues for the Cubs, and you get to be around a lot of those guys. You were telling me one of the guys that you were with last year got called up to the Brewers.
Last night. Tyler Black.
That's got to be cool.
It's cool, man. That's what makes my job so enjoyable is the relationships and friendships you make with the guys. And then seeing them succeed, climb the ladder. I think ultimately, myself included, that's my end goal is to make it to the big leagues. Whether I make it or not, I'm giving it my best shot. But that's our goal, man. We want to get up there and to see these guys flourish and have spent time with them on their journey, a very pivotal part of their journey. It's what makes me do what I do.
So you were telling me you're employed by the Cubs. So would the next step up be Iowa for you?
Well, they had their
could you skip AAA ball and go straight to the show?
To be honest, man, no. There's a guy who's been in AAA for a while. I think I'm content for where I'm at right now. But if the opportunity came about and they needed some spot in Arizona or at Wrigley, I would definitely be on it for sure.
That would be awesome.
It'd be awesome, man. Yeah, I just got to keep my head down and put the work in. You know,
yeah.
It's one of those things where I've been in the game for 10 plus years and I just got to keep grinding.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. You're on your own mission there.
Exactly.
Climbing the ladder here in professional baseball. Zach Schickel is with us here, the clubhouse attendant. So when you talk about this Smokies group, again, you've only been here for a year or a month. I can understand it. You know, it might take some time to get to know the guys and everything, but I would also imagine that talent shows itself
100%,
pretty quickly.
100%. I think luckily for me, these guys are great. Like, it didn't take much. Some of these guys I had last year that came through the away clubhouse in Biloxi, but these guys are nothing shorter than great. So, like, it's
won the league last year.
They did. And they came through last year. They were hot. I could see it. I was like, this team's got a shot to win it. And they sure did. They went down there. And I told the boys this year, I said, I'm missing a professional ring, so we got to win it again and run it back.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, who are some of the guys that jump out? You're like, oh, yeah, this guy – not going to be in double A ball long. This guy might be
a big
leaguer.
We have a handful of them. That's tough. You can go down the whole roster, honestly.
Really?
But no, we have some big names. Kate Horton, Matt Shaw, Brandon Birdsell. There's a whole bunch of guys down there, man. I think to be a Cubs fan, there's a bright future starting down here, and even below us too. So there's a lot of promise in that.
Yeah, that group that won the World Series. So many of those guys came through here.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like they got another good crop.
Yeah, there's definitely a haul coming for sure.
Excellent. So you got the meal out. Guys are out there on the field getting loose right now. Ball game's at 7 tonight. What else do you have to do before first pitch?
So I get ahead a lot of times during the road trip. I'll start rubbing baseballs, but I'm working on some more baseballs for later in the series. We go through anywhere from 10 to 15 dozen baseballs a game, so I'm mudding those up. I'll go back in, check. I'll start the laundry from pregame. I'll start tidying up as guys start going out to the field for pregame and for the game. I'll start vacuuming, pulling trash, doing the housemaid type stuff, and making it presentable for when they come back in. The big thing for it is it's their area, it's our area, it's their area. So like, communally, we try to keep it clean. They do a great job, make my job a lot easier. But I want it to look the best it can, so I do what I can to do that.
I got a quick question. So, what led you to this, right? I mean, did you play the game when you were younger, or did just because I think it's such a cool sounding job, and
I'm sure you work
your ass off, but it's like it's probably pretty rewarding.
It is very rewarding, man, and that's what fuels me to keep doing it. It's just like the guys, the guys make you want to do it. I started off as a bat boy with a team that's now defunct. It's the New Orleans Zephyrs. Mm-hmm. I came up as a bat boy. I'm from New Orleans. I did that for a few years. Started helping out a little bit as a clubhouse assistant, learning the ropes. Realized that at that age, hey, it's time to take this serious. So I went to college. I did it for like 3-4 years, bat boy, clubhouse assistant. College, I was a student assistant, student manager for Southeastern Louisiana. I did that for 3-4 years. And then after that, I applied coming out of college into pro ball. And I've done the A ball route. Now I'm in double A, kind of trying to work my way up, and really think I found a home with the Cubs. So it's been good. But yeah, dude, I started off as a bat boy, and here I am.
That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
You're from New Orleans. Is they ever have any talk about a major league team down there?
Not that I'm aware
of. Yeah, not that I know of. I know that the AAA team only lasted like 10, I don't even know, maybe 20 years. No longer than 20 years.
They don't have a minor league team?
No, it's defunct now. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. It's actually, the stadium is now professional rugby. Noah Gold plays there. But no, yeah, it's still there. The Shrine on Airline is still there, but no more baseball.
You would think that such a big city with such a good, with obviously the Saints and now the Pelicans, you would think that would be a baseball town.
You really would, because we back our teams, man. Like, we are, you said it, like the Pelicans, Saints, like we're all gung-ho on that. Even Tulane, LSU, I mean, it's,
yeah, I mean,
we back our sports.
Yeah, well, LSU baseball is such a big deal. I would just assume that New Orleans has a team. Well, maybe they can get one back in the future.
That'd be awesome, man. That would be that'd be pretty surreal, to be honest. I've always dreamt of that, having a big league team in my hometown.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of talk about expansion and maybe Nashville getting a franchise soon.
I heard that. Yeah,
it's been a long time since they've had expansion in Major League Baseball, but it sounds like it's coming. So
no, I agree. I think with the game growing, they're almost forcing their hand to add more teams. There's so much talent out there that I think they could field a team easily.
Zach, we appreciate you coming by, man. This has been enlightening conversation. The Smokies are in town this week. Come on out and see them. 7 p.m. first pitch tonight against Biloxi. And so they're out of here after on Monday?
They will leave Tuesday. Tuesday. We're heading to Chattanooga. So that's our closer trip. We'll leave Tuesday.
You got a little bit of a rest. A little bit of a break. All
then
right,
we'll get
cool.
ready and bring in Rocket City and ready to rock again.
Trash Pandas.
Trash Pandas, yep.
Good nicknames, too, in minor league baseball. You got to love that.
Oh, yeah. The monikers are crazy, man. Especially with these, like, other identities, like the Copa identity that you know, brings in, like, the Spanish culture. And you have all the, you know, all the promotional jerseys. You know, like this weekend, our guys will be wearing Star Wars jerseys for Star Wars night on May 4th. So there's definitely cool. There's definitely cool thing. You don't see that as much in big leagues. You know, they have players weekend, but we have a lot of specialty jerseys. And the Smokies do a really good job of providing that. And it's cool for the fans. It's cool for the players, you know. Get out of the regular uniform and mix it up a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, we're doing a station themed night here on the 30th, four weeks from tomorrow. Okay. So we're putting our request in early if we could maybe get a few packs of sunflowers.
Okay, I'll have to make it happen for you, man.
We know a guy now.
All about who you know,
man. That's
baby.
Right, man. Right, networking, absolutely.
We got our in with the clubhouse here at Smokey Stadium. Yeah. Hey, Zach, great meeting you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by. We'll let you get back to it. And
yes, sir.
Enjoy what are you doing during the game?
During the game, I'm doing a lot of the cleaning, getting ready for the post game. I go down and check on the bat boy, check on the ball count if we have to bring more balls down, checking the levels of water and Gatorade, see if I need to add to it.
You were just hustling,
I'm going nonstop. It's 18-hour days, to say the least. But I love
it,
man.
But you're around baseball.
I love
it, bro. That's fun.
It fuels me. It's all I know. So
awesome.
I'm very grateful to be in this position and just hope, you know, keep striving for more.
Zach, great meeting you, my friend.
Likewise, man. Yep. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, thank you.
Appreciate you guys.
It's good
Zach Schickel, the clubhouse attendant here at Smokies Stadium, joining us on the program. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll come right back. We'll get back into this Tennessee loss to Lipscomb last night and what it means, if anything, for Tony Vitello and the boys. Also, we need to talk about Deion Sanders. He is he's a lot these days, and I don't know that he necessarily needs to be, but I don't think he's taking my advice either. We'll talk about it when we continue. It is The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, coming to you live this afternoon from Smokies Stadium in Sevierville alongside Tucker Harlan and Bob Baskerville on loan from the morning show. Bear is back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, keeping us live and local this afternoon. Zach Schickel, clubhouse attendant, Smokies Stadium. Bear, what did you learn?
The guy worked his way up from ball boy to big dog.
Look at Bear, head on a swivel. We were placing bets as to whether or not Bear picked up anything from that one. But
A lot of his job sounds really cool to me. I mean, laying out like the sun, making sure everything looks right for the team. You got your sunflower seeds, your bubble gum, all that kind of. I like laying out a good spread for people.
And it was also cool to hear that these guys are getting taken care of. Of course, you know, they did have minor league contraction a couple of years ago, and it had gotten to the point where teams had, you know, rookie ball, two single A teams, sometimes two double A teams, a triple A. I think they've got it back to where it's basically you got three farm teams. Now, maybe you have rookie ball outside of that. But so the guys are getting paid because it was really, I mean, not that minor leaguers are necessarily getting rich, but they're at least getting a living wage now, I think. But the horror stories you used to hear about, I had a cheese sandwich and a banana waiting for me after the game or something. Sounds like they're taking care of these guys nowadays.
Yeah, it does. And then the other thing I really picked up on was we now have an inside guy at Smokies Park for the rest of the season.
Yeah, we're I'll manage that one, Bear. That's
fine. That's perfectly
my guy.
Fine.
No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I thought the same thing, man. It's like
got the hookup.
We like I said, we know a guy now.
Are you a seed guy?
No,
I'm not either.
I was big seed
guy. My wife will sit there with one of those jumbo packages of David's sunflower seeds in a big old plastic cup and just go to town. I can't even do it.
Like,
they can, you know, they can bite them and separate them in their mouths and just spit the seeds out. I end up like I don't know if I'm eating the seed or the shell, and I'm spitting stuff. It's getting caught on my beard. It's just gross.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to me. It's kind of like pistachios. I love pistachios, but a lot of work there too. So
don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze.
No,
necessarily.
But no, I mean, I like the idea of just saying, "Hey, man, can I get some seeds?" Still sounds good. Sounds cool while you're out here. Gives me an edge over Reed, who's trying to get that first pitch honor in place.
It's very important to him.
I know.
Why does he want to do that so bad?
I don't know.
Seems like a lot of pressure.
Exactly. Actually, when Aris was on from the Smokies yesterday, we talked a little about it, and I think Aris might have gotten in his head a little bit. It was good. He was kind of saying, "Yeah, you know,
get a pitch from the mound." I mean, if you're gonna make as big a deal about it as he has, you can't do the stand in front of the mound. And you think it's easy, but I noticed Todd Helton, when he threw out the first pitch at that game, I went to a UT game a couple of weeks ago, and he did not pitch from the mound. Now, he said that he has, like, lingering arm problems left over from his career.
Right.
But that is a Hall of Famer who declined to pitch from the mound. So if he can't do it, I mean, what chance does our boy John Reed have standing up there on the rubber and humming one in there from 60-plus feet?
Well, we're going to find out, maybe.
just don't do what 50 Cent did.
No. You know who had a good-looking first pitch last weekend was Calipari.
Really?
At Arkansas.
Stuck it in there?
Yeah, I don't know if he was on the mound or not, but he was, it looked good.
You know who else looked good? Was Kinex. Had some snap to it.
Yeah, that's right.
I think Heupel zipped one in there pretty good.
Yeah.
You hear the story about George Bush, W, after 9/11, and he's at Yankee Stadium for the World Series. A lot of national pride back in those days, and he's wearing the bulletproof vest. They said, well, you know, you have to wear, Commander in Chief, you got to wear the bulletproof vest if you're going to be out there. We're not going to let you out there. And he didn't want to do it. He said, I won't be able to throw a strike. It's hard enough as it is. And he's like, well, this is just how it is. You have to wear this vest or the Secret Service is not going to let you go out there. So he's all right. So I put on the vest, and he had like one of those big Yankees, like this, what do you call it? The satin jacket.
Satiny jackets.
Over that. And he
said looked like a million bucks.
Yeah. He said he's thinking he's just going to throw from right in front of the mound. And he's tossing there, getting the arm loose right before the game. And he says, Derek Jeter comes up to him and says, yo, you're going to throw from the mound, right? And W is just looking at him. He's like, why do you ask? And he says, they're not going to respect you if you don't throw from the mound. And so now he's like, it's in his head. He said, well, I guess I have to throw from the mound. And he went out there and threw a strike.
He spun it. That was a big moment. I mean, it was really it was so much more significant than just a regular first pitch. You know what I mean? It's like, I remember seeing that and just, you know, how the city went nuts, you know, the stadium went nuts. And it was a big memory in a very, very tough time.
Were you in New York at that time?
No, I was just watching it on TV.
Okay.
But, that was,
big moment
W was a little bit of an athlete, I think.
Did his dad play baseball at Yale? I don't know.
He was a cheerleader, I thought.
Well, you have to be athletic.
Sure.
Well, yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw him. He was like a Yale leader or something.
Yeah.
One of those skull and bones guys.
Yeah.
So, as we get back to it here this afternoon, Tennessee falls to Lipscomb last night at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Not a disaster. Again, don't want to be perceived as pressing the panic button here by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't think we should just completely ignore it and sweep it under the rug either. How big a deal is this?
Here's the thing. We were talking about this morning. I you know, and I heard what Vitello said in his press game or post game presser. He made the comment that just gotta move on. In a way, it's good that there's only today off, and then they start their series tomorrow instead of Friday. Just kind of get it in the rearview mirror and get moving. We were talking about this, though. I mean, if you think about after their first loss to Kentucky, if you recall, in game two, they came out blazing in the first inning of game two, like five runs. And I'm just hopeful that it, maybe it just will help unlock that offense a little bit. Cause you're right, Russ. It's been a little dry since the game one last Thursday, against Missouri. And, the other thing too, is I think we maybe got a little, regression to the mean moment for, our boy Marcus Phillips last night. He got roughed up a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. there was a lot of talk about him being this high octane closer. Yeah. And that doesn't mean he doesn't have some juice. He's a big boy, definitely talented, I would think, but maybe that'll tamp everybody's expectations down, including mine. I mean, I was all over that, like, man, this could be Chase Burns 2.0, and I don't think that's quite the case.
No, I don't think so. Bear, you worried about it?
No, not at all. I was more – my only takeaway was, why put Snead in there last night? We play on Thursday this week. I mean, I know you want to win that game, but in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. You just got to take care of business in conference. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think he could still be available Friday and Saturday. How many pitches did he – how many innings did he throw last night?
It was like maybe one and a third.
Yeah, I mean, he might even be available – Thursday, so we'll see. But I don't know, it's a little frustrating. Both my baseball teams right now having power outages. The Braves lost back-to-back games for the first time all season. Might get swept today.
You were up against a tough pitcher last night, though. Castillo was dealing. He looked good.
Yeah, it's baseball not nearly as fun to watch, though, when your team is struggling offensively.
Well, let me tell you, I on my fantasy team, I've been enjoying the reaping the benefits of Matt Olson. It's a dynasty league.
Yeah.
I have him this year, and he is killing me, man. Yeah, killing me.
It's not the pitching. The Strider injury sucks, but it's Acuna, Austin Riley, and Matt Olson. Or not hitting right now. All three of them are really struggling. Olson is, I mean, he's right at the Mendoza line.
It's tough. It's tough to watch. He used to have some seasons like that in Oakland before. Then he busted out one season, which is what got him to Atlanta, you know. But, yeah, I've been following Olson for, again, I have him in a dynasty league, and this is my last year with him because you can keep him for up to, like, 4 years. So, I'm hopeful that he'll get it going, but yeah, back to the Vols. I think that again, you know, as far as pitching goes, last night, yeah. So Snead did 1 2/3 innings, but that middle rotation, Phillips and Benke, got roughed up.
Benke got roughed up too.
Yeah.
That's a guy you can depend on a weekend usually. Benke.
Yeah. Hopefully it's just one of those things. And even with the pitching staff getting roughed up a little bit, I kept watching, you know, the eighth inning or the seventh or the eighth, they had the bases loaded and nobody out and only pushed one across.
Bottom of the seventh. We talked about that this morning. I was, you know, that's I guess a byproduct of where we are with this team. I, you know, it's bottom of the seventh, the bases loaded. I was watching. I was like, we're good.
Yeah, man. We're about to smash these guys.
Yeah, here we go. And then, yeah, they only got no outs, and then they got only one run in. That was tough. That was a tough pill to swallow.
Well, hopefully they bounce back. All right, Bob, explain this to me. And for folks who don't know your background, you're much too modest to beat your chest about this, so I'll do it for you a little bit. But you're a big-time TV executive. You've started and ran TV shows and TV networks across the world. The media landscape really is your life, or a big part of it anyway. Explain to me then, Bob Baskerville, why I cannot watch the Braves anymore. I'm paying over $200 a month in cable and internet fees to Comcast. Bally Sports, which people have their frustrations with them anyway. The app sometimes doesn't work, whatever. Now, all of a sudden, news breaking late last night, they're pulling the plug on it. That has happened today. If you're a Comcast subscriber and you haven't looked yet and you like to watch the Braves, or I'm also assuming the Reds, the Predators, there are a couple of those Bally channels that I have anyway, don't have them anymore. Comcast and Bally in a dispute. They're both pointing the finger at the other, saying, it's their fault. We're being reasonable. And the other side is saying the same thing. layman's terms, what's happening here?
Well, I'll do my best. It's complicated, as these carriage deals always are. But I have, for networks I've represented in the past, I've sat at these tables, and it is, it's typically a bloodbath. And that is, there's a back and forth that goes on. There's an expectation in terms of what, a provider is willing to pay for the rights to carry a channel. In this case, it's Bally Sports South. And they're always going back and forth in terms of what do you think the perceived value of the network or service is. So let's say that I'm Comcast at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The Comcast person, their job and their accountability to their company is no different than a lot of other companies in other different industries. And that is just to get the best deal possible, provide value for their customer, but, you know, pay as little as possible so that, but they're going to turn around and they're still going to charge a premium to the customer. Mm-hmm. And it's wrapped up in their cable bill. So that's their job. The people from Bally, they have distribution execs who are out there, and their job is to make money to help offset the rights fees that they're paying to broadcast those games, right? To get them produced, created, exhibited on a Comcast, on a DirecTV, all those places. So it's a story as old as time that there's a butting of heads on what the value is, what Bally thinks they should get paid, what Comcast thinks they should pay. Their deal probably termed out. That's the reason why this is all happening. Their agreement termed out last night, end of April. They've been talking likely for months and months, by the way. This isn't like they come together a week before saying, hey, what are we going to do? This has been talked about for months, and they're trying to reach a common ground on what's going to be a good agreement. And so it's not uncommon for the distributor to come back and just say, hey, man, we'll drop you. We'll just, you know, if you don't accept the offer that we have, we'll drop you. And conversely, sometimes, I don't think this was the case with Bally, because Bally's in some financial straits to begin with. I mean, mm-hmm. they'd filed for bankruptcy long ago. But in some instances, and this is what happened with some of the networks I was associated with, you know, HGTV, Food Network, which have incredible value, distributors would try to do that to us, and we'd be like, we'll just walk. We'd take ourselves off when the deal ends. We don't.
Where would you go? DirecTV?
That's the thing. What? The deals typically don't term out in unison. They're scattered all over the place.
Yeah.
Like a DirecTV deal might term in a year. Comcast might terminate right now. So
you were just so confident in your position. We've got these other distributors that we're on that if Comcast, just to use an example, we're not going to air your channel, that they would get so much blowback from their subscribers, cancellations and everything, that they would come to the table and accept the deal on your terms.
Absolutely. And if you've ever seen this, it's not unusual, particularly on the local broadcast stations. You'll see on their ticker sometimes they'll be running during their news, or some of their popular programming might be Wheel of Fortune saying, hey, if you love our station and you're a customer of, we'll just say, Dish Network, you're not going to be able to see us here in the next couple of weeks if we don't arrive at a deal. So please, please, please speak up to your satellite provider and tell them how important it is that you want this channel. And so that's what's happening here. And Bally, the real clash here is, again, Bally is cash strapped, and there's kind of sharks circling, whether that's Amazon, whether that's, you know, there's other
wanting to jump in the Major League Baseball game, and
yes, and own, and Amazon can overpay, they could do whatever they want, they have so much money that they're kind of circling the water, you know, saying, hey, we'd take this off your hands, we would help you out here. And the parent owner is Sinclair Broadcasting. They're the ones that own the Bally Broadcasting brand.
We got to run to the top of the hour. Real quickly, is there any chance that this gets resolved? And so, you know, Comcast subscribers, which is still a lot of people subscribe to that, get the Braves back, it's, you know, soon, this year.
It'll get resolved. They typically do. It's just a matter of how long. It could be as long as a couple of weeks, though. It could happen that way.
Good thing we got the Braves right here on Fan Run Radio, except for today, because the game's going on now. The night games, though, the weekend games, we got those for you, baby. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.